Here we go on a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. John Curley and Sherry Elliger Show. Proud to have you along for the ride. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You can text as well. Come on in to the State Roofing text line. 1-888-973-5476. What are you looking around for? You're making me nervous.
Yeah, I was looking at what you were looking at.
I was just looking around. I can look around. Don't distract me before I get on that diving board.
I know. I'm sorry.
Focused.
Sorry. You're right.
Here we go into the news. Chris Cuomo. I can't keep which Cuomo is being fired next. So CNN decides this is it for Chris Cuomo. After a law firm probes involvement into the brothers' harassment scandal, that it turns out that Chris was helping his brother. His brother was calling him up and they needed advice, and he was sort of working his end of it. And the Italian family was all sticking together here, right? So they were kind of stuck with him for a good long time. And then I guess at some point, enough came up that CNN over the weekend made the big announcement that their big anchor, Chris Cuomo, had to go.
Right. I mean, what happened was they went through all of this legal stuff. And then in this documentation that they found, they realized that what Chris Cuomo was trying to do was get information about who might be coming forward next to rat out his brother or to accuse his brother.
Yes.
So he was working the back end of this. And so they said that was against their journalistic standards.
Do they have that? They have those things, those journalistic standards. Why was Chris Cuomo interviewing his own brother on those night shows talking all about how great he is? And I mean, did you watch any of that sort of stuff?
I saw some of it. And at the time, remember, Andrew Cuomo at the time was sort of this, figure of this of leadership. And
yes,
everybody thought he was doing such an amazing job because he was so out there with the whole COVID thing. Little did we know people were dying in the nursing homes and all of the other stuff that was happening behind the scenes. So I think they found that because he had such access to the governor,
yes,
that they allowed it to happen. Mm. Well, then they said this weekend.
By the way, it wasn't hard to get access to Andrew Cuomo. What's difficult is getting between Andrew Cuomo and a camera. That's the danger part.
Right.
He was very available for everything. So it wasn't like he's not returning phone calls and he doesn't want to come on TV. Believe me, he won an Emmy Award for his press conferences.
Press conferences, right.
He loved all that stuff.
Yeah.
And what it was is Donald Trump is horrible. This is how you don't want to handle the crisis. Andrew Cuomo is great. This is how you handle it, right?
Yeah.
So those were the two things went back and forth, that the president can only be more like the governor of New York. Things would be better. So now we find out that Chris and his brother were helping one another, or at least Chris was helping him out. And CNN got, what, just too much egg on their face?
Yeah, I think they did. And then later they said there was new information that came out this weekend. The new information was that a woman has come forward with a sexual harassment charge. Now, this charge may have taken place, or the incident may have taken place, back when he worked for ABC News.
Mm-hmm.
That was way back in like 2013. That's also where he was accused of sexually harassing a woman at a party where he hugged her and grabbed her butt in front of her husband. He's admitted to that, said he didn't mean it to be sexual, and apologized for it.
Okay.
So
he said, because I don't work for you anymore, we don't work together anymore, I could do that or something like that?
Yeah, something.
How unbelievably embarrassing would be the husband to just sort of stand there, because like Chris Cuomo can deadlift like 400 pounds. You're like, hey, Chris, you might want to knock that off.
Exactly. Exactly.
What is it about these guys that are these anchors of these TV shows that they feel they have so much power over these women?
I think they have power over everybody. I think that's celebrity. When you get to the point where
Jacob, this is going to be you in a couple of weeks.
When people want to be in your presence, when people are around you all the time that are saying yes, when people kind of worship you in their own way, you can get away with anything.
Yeah.
And, Chris Cuomo is one of these guys who thinks he's he is a macho guy. I mean, he's a big weightlifter, and he got into trouble. I think it was Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson got a hold of a tape a few years ago where he was talking about this, somebody had accused him of something, and he was like, do you really think I need to do that to get women? Come on, that whole thing. So he's got this reputation of kind of being one of those guys, even though nobody has really ever come forward with anything that's been,
like a Matt Lauer thing.
Correct.
Okay. This is, we have the clip of the they're going to be having a Christmas party over at the Cuomo house. So you can imagine Andrew Cuomo not employed anymore. Chris Cuomo, and it was Chris Cuomo basically took Andrew down, or Andrew has taken Chris down.
Right, and keep in mind, Chris Cuomo just today quit his SiriusXM radio show on top of everything else.
This is what I think it would sound like at Christmas time around the house.
Last night, I was doing what I do for my family, which is make my mother's sauce.
Let's try not to be obnoxious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you took turkey at me? Don't blow up.
Oh, my Lord.
And you're filming? God!
And then he just goes nuts.
Oh, boy. They are tense at that house.
I can't imagine, really, because tense. It was Andrew Cuomo Chris Cuomo can basically say that Andrew Cuomo caused him to lose his job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he can definitely say that. And Andrew Cuomo is one of the attorneys that is representing an accuser of Andrew Cuomo is now representing the woman that's accusing Chris Cuomo.
Okay.
So it comes full circle.
I care so little about this since I don't watch it. I only see him every once in a while when I have to watch stuff if he said something or interviews somebody. I completely wrote him off. Jacob was here last summer when Andrew Cuomo, or whatever it was, April, emerged from the basement, that he had been in the basement.
Yes. Okay. That was
Here
Chris.
I am. I'm coming up from the basement to see my family for the first time in 2 weeks. Every morning I come into Jacob, I'm like, because Tom didn't care. I'm like, hey, let's do that thing where Andrew Cuomo talks about he got a fever so bad that he broke his teeth off. And Tom's like, I don't want to do that one. I go, come on, get the one of him talking about he bit his teeth off because he was his.
Right. And he would talk about these dreams that he had. Like, he talked to his brother. He's like, I saw Pop in a dream.
Yeah.
I saw Pop in a dream. Because he had these fever dreams.
I'm down in the basement. I'm coming up for the first time in a month and a half to see my family. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you were just
at the Hamptons. They caught him at the Hamptons before he did his big emerge.
So I had
you know?
This big thing every day. I'd come in. Hey, let's do the thing on Chris Cuomo. And Tom's like, I don't really care about that. Now I don't care about it. Tom ruined me.
Oh,
I know.
And
I was fired. I was loaded for bear over the summer. But now Tom just kicked it out of me, so I don't care.
Tom.
I know. Well, you keep in the straight and narrow on that one. All right, let's get to that. I was more excited to see that they don't want any cars at Pike Place. Basically, the cobblestone, by the way, you could tell they don't want any cars over there at Pike Place because driving on those cobblestones, it's like, this is horrible for my car.
Pike Place Market is just an icon living. Over 100 years old.
It works.
Oozing with tradition. But could tradition use a little modernizing?
There's a lot of advantages to pedestrianizing public spaces.
Like taking the cars out of the market, something Seattle City Council member Andrew Lewis hopes to workshop with various stakeholders.
I think people have really seen what it's like when we are in a position to dedicate more of our public space to non-vehicular traffic, you know, to the improved quality of life of drivers and pedestrians alike.
But to Jason Scott, who has been at the market for decades, shutting down this street would change Pike Place into something else.
There's definitely an energy in the market, you know, whether it's people unloading stuff for businesses or tourists getting dropped off. Seems to be working all these years. You know, it's kind of this pedestrian and traffic.
Residents living at the market worry about the impact to vendors if cars disappear.
And this street isn't for transportation purposes. It's to facilitate market commerce because it helps people guide them to the sidewalks closer to the businesses so they can make sales.
The market's executive director has heard it all, that getting rid of the cars would make the market safer.
There's a lot of public safety issues that we all have to deal with right now with downtown.
But she says Pike Place is unique, especially to the businesses.
They know more than anyone how this market works and how essential it is to their business.
Okay, so the how safe it is just determined how many people get hit by a car. That's a pretty easy number to run. And then there are a lot of trucks that have to do all the deliveries. And some people that want to be able to go visit the market might not be able to get in there close enough. I know there are a lot of good handicap parking in there to be able to go around. It's just as part of it. You're always kind of crossing there and you look out for the cars that are backing up. They go slow enough through there because you really can't move very quickly. There's not a lot of parking on the right-hand side. There's plenty of commercial parking and stuff. But they want to get rid of the cars through Pike Place Market because ultimately to be able to say, I got this done. You know, I don't know. It just Have you been over there to visit yet? Have you done that move?
I was there a long time ago, so I don't remember it entirely. But they did a similar thing where I live.
Okay.
We're at the bottom of King Street, which is in Alexandria. It's on the Potomac River.
Yep.
And what they did was they took about two blocks and they blocked it off for only pedestrians.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because they said there was just too much of that. People driving down to the river and everything like
yeah.
that. Well, all it really did was then make it almost impossible. The bottleneck that happens before you get there is worse now.
Oh.
So there are people parked on the side streets along the way. It was just better because, like you were saying, there's a rhythm there. There's a routine to what happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So people were used to that. And when they tried to change it, it wasn't a good experiment.
I see.
But they can't move it back now. Once it's done, it's done.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, he would say, well, we want to do it because we want to cut down on accidents.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. You've got other ways to do that. You could slow it down even more. You could speed bumps, whatever. But really, are there that many people being hit by cars there at Pike Place Market? I don't know. Seattle is it's a city that doesn't want to have any cars anymore. So this is one more way to make that all happen. By the way, if you do block an intersection, there's no blocking the box. They're automatically going to have a camera that takes a picture of your license, and then you get a chance to have this thing come in the mail and get a chance to see the back of your head primarily. I think that would be it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, and then you pay, it's probably what, like a weird number. They're always weird numbers, like $137 or something.
Well,
like that.
That's for like a red light camera, but this is $75. The first
not
one.
Not 71?
No,
why
not something $72.50,
like
but
okay.
Good 75.
All right.
And so they'll send you a warning first. There's these eight locations that they're installing these traffic cameras. So they'll send you the warning first, and then the second time it's $75.
Okay. I'm all right with that because it really does foul up traffic. New York City takes it very, very seriously, and you block the box. And you do have this very strange feeling. Have you ever been stuck in that intersection, any intersection, all of a sudden you are blocking the box?
It's the worst.
It is the worst.
Yeah.
It's like you're just waiting. You know, when they used to tie Batman down and then they would have this giant thing swinging back and forth.
Right.
I know, every minute, Batman, the blade right. gets lower and lower. And he's like, Robin, trying to reach, you know, that you really feel trapped. Yeah. Why don't you just kill him? Why does the blade have to take slower and slower more at the time? But when you're right, you're the only one. You're like the car in front of you. Go, go, just go, go, go,
right.
go, 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 go.
Or have you gotten that guy that goes right up to your car because they want to prove a point that yes, you've blocked it and they can't get through? And you're like, I'm sorry,
what are we gonna
do? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I'm
right.
sorry.
You're stuck
yeah.
in there.
Oh,
the
it's
guy
terrible.
In front of you. Just go, go, yeah. go, go, go. And then he goes and you're trapped and somebody. Yeah, I get it. This and it does bottle up everybody. So you'll get the thing in the mail. What I always find to be most upsetting about those red light cameras, or you go up and take the right on red, but you don't stop completely to the Texas right-hand turn, the slow turn into the thing. Then get the photo in the mail of yourself. And when you're driving your car, you have an image of yourself as, I look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get that picture, you're like, gee whiz. Wow, look how horrible I look. Look at my car. Look at me in my car. That's what I look like.
Is it that detailed? I've never gotten one that was that
detailed. I asked for a detailed one. I'll send it back. Said, can you get a little closer? Can you get a little bit more of the right angle?
I always just get the one of the car. It's, you know, 50 feet away, and you see my driver's, you know, my license
plate.
But
you can see yourself. You can judge, can't you?
Not really. Well, I'm kind of short.
Bring
so
him
if
in.
I did,
I'll judge
it would be,
you. Oh, yeah.
You know, one of these. You know.
Right. Real low, and your right. hands are there. just your forehead.
Right.
I see.
Barely seeing over the dashboard. Oh, yeah, that's me. You know, but these generate a lot of revenue, too.
Yeah. So
I mean, they expect this to bring in quite
in
a
there.
Bit of money.
Oh, I was going to try to play one thing of Chris Cuomo coming up the stairs.
Oh.
we do have to get to Jussie. I never said it right.
Jussie?
Smollett?
Yeah.
Oh, that took a lot out of me. I love this case. I wish we could have some more sound of it, and we have to cover it. It is now being described as the funniest trial ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Because the people that are coming up there and talking and the absurdity of his entire story. And I keep thinking, I remember one time, I'll just tell you this quick story, and my father is gone, so I can tell this. My dad got sued all the time because he owned an apartment building. And people used to fall and slip on ice, and then you get a slip and fall, and you get this thing, and they get money, right? So he would always, he'd send it to his attorney, and then the attorney's like, Jack, don't worry about it. They're just trying to get money. This guy's mm-hmm. name is Harry Ball. Mm-hmm. So, and then my dad goes, well, what are you doing? That's it. Literally, it sounded like they're on the phone together. So one day, he ignores this, ignores it, And then, not a knock on the door, I just thought I'd do that.
Okay.
No, the guy comes to open the door. It's a state trooper.
Uh-oh.
And he says, John Curley? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he goes, you've served. And he hands me the thing, right? So I take it, I read it, open it up. I thought it was for me, from the state cops. And it's for my dad. And it's a thing to sign to come to court that he's being, like, they're coming after him.
Summoned,
like a bench warrant, summoning. I panic. I call him up. My dad goes, I don't care. Don't worry about it. I'm like, Dad, but they're going to come and get you, the cops. I think I was 13 or 14, 13. So I completely, he ignores it. Again, even though. And then it gets very, very bad. Now I have to go to court.
You?
Right. Because I received the summons. So they've got my dad there, me, my dad's lawyer, Harry Ball. Judge is like, what? You want to hear what happened?
Yes.
All right. Well, you have to wait because we got to do traffic.
Oh, how about a hint?
It involves you having to commit perjury, doesn't it?
Yes. And yep. I got a bike out of it.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Jacob.
Sorry, is that too much?
That was kind of a spoiler, not a hint.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't. No need to know anything else.
No, now it's over. He went right to the end, flipped to the end. I'm surprised you didn't mention the bike color. It was green.
Okay.
Lacey Hill's traffic.
Here we go.
I know. That's right. Wow. Tom's voice sounds really high right now. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate that. Hey, here comes our bell. Rachel Bell, biggest and best in the Northwest. That's Muckleshoot Casino, not you. Rachel Bell. When it comes to entertainment, Muckleshoot, number one. Rachel, right behind. By the way, Rich used to do a show there with Cats on Saturday.
Catterday.
Yeah. Don't
Big
get her started.
Crowd.
People used to think it was real, and she goes on, and then people can't tell what's real and not real.
Well, you know, over the weekend, we would do the special for women who are going through menopause. Cat's going through menopause.
Okay, see what happens? And then Sean will jump in with one of these stupid puns.
Sean,
then,
jump in right meow, okay?
They did. They competed. They went to, where'd you guys go to compete in the-
Austin, Texas, baby.
It was the International Pun Competition.
No way.
We lost big time.
And
yes.
You get up, did they give you a topic? Is that how it starts?
Yeah, it's like Linda Richman. I'll give you a topic, discuss.
And then you just start, you go until, I think what-
You have 5 seconds each to pun, they start counting down, and if it takes you longer than 5 seconds to go, then you're out automatically.
So I think Rachel's topic was flowers. Mine was photography. So I think I got about 3 good ones in.
Yeah,
and
I think we each got 2 or 3.
Okay.
Did I say 3?
He said 3.
Maybe 2.
He has a tick. It's okay, really, at this point.
I have a tick, a couple leeches, no big deal.
Okay, so, but you watched other people pun, and you were like, whoa.
These two people went back and forth, 5 seconds, 5 seconds, for 25 minutes on one topic. And some of the topics were so obscure. Glassware. I was so glad I didn't get that one.
Holy moly.
I know.
See, that? I just tried to do it with holy moly. And that.
What about holy guacamole?
Okay, that's a form of glass.
Glassware?
It's a moly. It's called holy
moly. I don't know. That's through an interesting lens.
That doesn't sound like a pun. It sounds like a play on
words.
Okay,
whatever. Hey, by the way, let's talk about the fact, who owns a recipe?
Who knows? Everybody. Nobody. This story's in the New York Times, and it's fascinating to me as somebody who is very into reading cookbooks, and I say that because I love to get into bed and read a good cookbook.
Never know how it's going to end.
At Muckleshoot Casino. Up in my penthouse at Muckleshoot Casino. So, there are a lot of things that are protected by copyright that people make creatively, like music and art and writing, but recipes are not covered by copyright laws. So they give an example in this New York Times story that in 2008, there was a best-selling cookbook called Hello Cupcake, and they made the cutest cupcake. They showed a picture of it. It was this vanilla cupcake, and then they used yellow cream and white jelly beans to make it look like corn on the cob.
Uh-huh.
And then they made a fake butter slice using like a smashed up Starburst that they smushed into a square. And then they used black and white sugar to make it look like salt and pepper. Well, jump
this
ahead.
This is all on one cupcake?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like something you don't really want to eat, but it's real cute to look at.
Okay, got it.
So 3 years later in 2011, the people who made this book were like, wait a minute. They saw this women's magazine on the cover was the exact cupcake design down to the little sprinkles. And they were like, this is clearly our idea from our cookbook. So they sought legal advice. They contacted the magazine that never got back to them. And the lawyer said, sorry, there's no protection. Mm. You know, they can't copy like the head note that you use for the recipe, or they can't copy the story you might have told in your cookbook, but they can totally take the recipe. It's not protected. And that's just because when copyright laws were established, you know, cooking recipes wasn't what it is today, where people are making a lot of money off of it. It was just something that women did at home so that the family could eat. So it's something that's being discussed. So there was one case where a book was recently pulled for plagiarism because in 2012, a woman named Sharon Wee published a cookbook called Growing Up in a Nanya Kitchen. And then recently a book called Makan came out where this woman.
Have you read either one of those?
No, I've never heard of them.
All right. Don't want to ruin the end for you.
Everybody dies. Yeah.
At 425 degrees.
So depressing. But you know how she killed her? By giving her that sweet, cute little corn cupcake, and she choked on all the jelly beans and died. Anyway.
Rachel Bell, by
the way. Thank you. In this case, the woman who wrote the second book lifted the stories and like word for word and just put it in her cookbook. So that book was pulled.
Okay.
But it's kind of an interesting topic because some cookbook authors are saying, well, that's why we have 1,000 chocolate chip cookie recipes. You want just one recipe? Like, that's what recipes are for. People can change them. That's just how it works. I think it just comes down to people feeling like, you know, someone else is making more money off of something that they invented.
Is it true that if you have a recipe and you go to share it with someone, you don't give them the exact measurements?
Well, I would hope not. I hope someone, if I ask for the recipe, gives me the right measurements.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
Because you don't want the person to recreate it exactly as you made it.
Are you talking about a friend?
Whatever. Just you don't.
Well,
why
would you want to sabotage their?
Not totally. It's not like calls for a half a cup and you say calls for 15 cups. It's not like that where you just really throw them off.
How
just
competitive are you that you need to like sabotage?
I heard
recipe?
This from a friend of mine that
I'm sure you did.
That she said, oh, because I was you know writing it down for them, and she goes, tell them whatever it was, change it, a quarter cup. I said, why? Just change that.
That's mean.
That's not mean. No.
Well, they wouldn't have asked for the recipe if they wanted a different recipe. Well, they wanted it to turn out the way that it was when they tried it and they liked it.
But see, you're taking the other person's thing. So then, like, all your friends are sitting there and, oh my gosh, I love this bread pudding. And you're like, yeah, wow. But
yeah,
you don't
but
get
not
credit.
Any
net,
money
well,
off
you don't
of
get
it.
Credit. Doesn't matter. You don't give credit to the person who gave it to you. So then the person who makes the really good bread pudding still has the original recipe and doesn't give you
But if they never come in contact with people getting the other bread patty, what does it matter?
Somebody who needs a lot of therapy who does that, honestly. Okay, what do you think about
this? I asked Martha Stewart that name drop that I just did right there. And she goes, that's not true. Why would I hold something back? I said, oh, you of all people, Martha, would hold back something in order to make it all yours.
And then you helped her with the insider trading and put her right in prison. But then she didn't know how to make the ponchos, so I'm glad she went to jail. She learned how to knit. It was really cool. It's really sweet. Okay, so I was reading I don't want to name names like you did.
By the way, I can't believe both of you dismissed the idea of withholding some small ingredient of a
recipe. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying that it's wrong and petty and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, and if people think that's common knowledge, wouldn't they then be suspicious of the recipe did he hold back on?
Yep.
These are the crowds you travel with then.
I travel with people that are, when they create something, it's theirs. You don't just take it.
Anyway, so I was looking through a cookbook, and like you, I'm not going to name any names, but it rhymes with Schneina Schmarten.
Okay.
And this woman has so much money, and she has an empire. She's one of probably like the best-selling cookbook authors out there. And I was looking through all the recipes, and in at least 10 of them, she credited some other blogger or cookbook author and said, I really love their recipe, so I put it in my book, or I adjusted a little bit, which she is crediting them. But I thought, you're still making money off of their recipes. Like, if you're at the top of the food chain where you are, come up with your own recipes. Like, come on, lady. I thought it was very lazy.
I'm going to go to one more person. Lacey, is it true? Have you ever heard that someone might change the recipe in order to not give the complete recipe to a friend?
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Oh, God.
Why, it's just my friend. Don't you want them to enjoy it?
Never mind. Hold on. Let me get rid of Rachel. There goes Rachel Bell.
Bye. Try not to choke on a corn cupcake for being kind of a jerk.
Lacey, please help me.
Love you.
writing to us, and that's good for you. All right, to mynorthwest.com. You can also text. Come in the State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. Oh, boy, Henry Winkler auctioning off his Fonzie jacket. Is he talking about this? And by the way, you've got pictures of him. You don't like the way Fonzie looks, huh?
He doesn't look very Fonzie-like anymore.
Oh, I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
You probably don't.
He is saying goodbye to memorabilia he's had since Happy Days began back in 1974.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
For Henry Winkler, those happy days spread to happy weeks, months, years, and decades. Now Henry is ready.
Hey! He come in the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I had the lunchbox, and I got beaten up and got rid of it.
He depart with a collection of cherished items he saved from his days as the Fonz.
I never will say goodbye because it is always in my heart and always in my mind. It was the show that threw me out into the world, and I will always be grateful. Letting a physical thing go doesn't in any way diminish the enormity of the experience.
The Fonz's motorcycle.
I need the money.
Michael and his famous leather jacket are expected to fetch tens of thousands of dollars. And that signature jacket, it didn't start out that way.
When I first wore it, it was fabric. And I couldn't keep the collar up. Then ABC allowed me to wear leather. And it was so great. And I got to be somebody I never was, I never could be. And now I look at it and it's annoying because it no longer fits.
Oh.
God, he doesn't sound quite as cool, does he?
No, he's always had that voice. No, he never. He wasn't.
No, he had a much deeper voice. He was very cool and, you know.
No.
Yeah.
No, pull up a sound of him in the show. He's like, hey, you know, he was never.
Henry's collection of items from Happy Days and beyond are part of an auction called TCM Presents Hollywood Cool. Henry is donating a nice portion of the proceeds to This Is About Humanity.
A nice portion.
A nice portion. Right. You know, proceeds can be anything you want.
100% of the proceeds.
Right.
Or, you know, they'll get a nice portion.
A nice portion.
His daughter Zoe and two friends started the nonprofit to support separated and reunified families at the border. While Henry graces the cover of the Hollywood Cool catalog, he's never seen himself that way.
As I get older, I think I'm getting closer to just being authentic. But if other people want to think I'm cool, I'm down.
There you go.
I'm down.
I had only two run-ins with him. He came to King 5 once for something, and he had on a cashmere cable knit green sweater that was nice. A little too fluffy for a man, say that. And that's coming from me. And then after you shook his hand, your hand smelled like Henry Winkler. So then Jim Dever shook hands with him a couple of times, and then throughout the entire day, Jim kept saying, you want to smell Henry Winkler? And then I go, I kind of do. Because, you know, it's the Fonz.
Was it aftershave?
It was nice, whatever it was.
Oh, so it was sort of a cologne kind of smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
all
it
right.
wasn't like, you know, meatball and cheese or something. No, it was nice. It was like a, I don't know, some sort of cologne.
Yeah, okay.
Too much cologne on his hand.
Okay.
He got in. Thank you. He got invited to Aegis Nursing Home to give a speech and a celebrity thing. I got invited as well, not quite sure why. So I'm there and Henry Winkler's there and he gives a speech and everyone's in clapping and then I give a little speech and then the guy's like, now at this point, we're going to go up to the second floor. Aegis is great. Go to the second floor where we're going to be dancing to the oldies, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Henry, John, join us on the second floor. Henry's like, I'll be right back. I have to just check on something. I'll see everyone upstairs, right?
Never showed.
The sound of his limo and the wheel screeching to get out of the driveway. He took off.
That's horrible.
Yep.
That's really mean.
And I'm up at the second floor dancing with all these old ladies.
Good for you. That was nice of you to do that.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Where's Henry? Don't sit under the apple tree.
Hey, you got me. We want Henry. Where is he? Where's the jacket?
I don't know, but here, you want to smell him?
I can smell him.
Is that your old lady voice?
Yes.
You want more time to work on that? Is that going to be it?
That's it. Sorry.
John, do your old man voice real quick, and you guys can have a little exchange.
Sean, you know what? This is your last day in there, and you don't want
to... Penultimate.
What?
Penultimate day.
I don't know what that means.
Second to last.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
What is it when it's your first, like Lacey doing traffic for us?
First day.
Thank you. How's traffic? How are we doing?